Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, Doc Pandy, and then we'll get to your calls. We see you coming in. It's time for Cleared to Play. Inside the tent we go. Get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. And very proud, as always, to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in our friend, Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. Doc, who plays basketball tonight? Let's start with that.
Draymond Green plays basketball tonight.
Very
key for the game tonight.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. You know who doesn't play basketball tonight? GP2. What do you see there? And let's play it out. Let's say they do get out of this thing. What's the outlook for him?
Yeah, you obviously get concerned for two reasons. One is, I mean, he's had the hamstring, he had the other calf, and now this left calf. And anytime the team kind of goes from this is calf tightness, so now it's a calf strain, you get concerned that there's a larger structural issue going on. I think in general, if this is a garden variety calf strain, then you're looking at 7 to 10 days on the kind of the more optimistic end. I do worry that this could be a 1 to 2 week thing, just given all the injuries that's accumulated and the concern that this could be something bigger. So hopefully if the Warriors win the next two games and they play OKC and they go a little bit deeper, you could potentially see him back on the early side. But you do worry, just given his history, this potentially could be a 2 to 3 week injury.
Yeah, and that might be so long that he actually never plays again if they get into 2 or 3 weeks and they make it into the next round and he ends up not playing. That would be a bummer. What about the idea of the rest for the Golden State Warriors heading into tonight's game? You sat Steph and you sat Draymond against Utah in the final game of the year. How much can that really help?
I think for veteran players, it absolutely can. I think when you're looking at rest going into individual games, it can definitely improve performance. It allows that additional amount of time for soft tissue recovery, and then you can kind of have those bigger minutes play a little bit more explosive. I think where rest doesn't necessarily have as big an impact is when you go into a 7-game series, because then the body's just going to start accumulating that from game 2, game 3, game 4. But for these potentially, hopefully, next two games, that rest, not playing very intensely, can absolutely have play an impact, particularly against a young team like the Kings, who's going to be running. There's going to be a lot of explosiveness. So it gives them that little bit of extra energy, particularly for two key players.
Doc, did you see the Anthony Davis injury, or did you see a tape of it yet?
I did. Yes, I did.
Okay. What do you think? He's playing, but what did you see in that injury?
I mean, it seemed like kind of a garden variety kind of fall. I know he was blaming Larry Nance Jr. for a dirty play. I mean, the thing with Anthony Davis is that he's, you know, obviously gets a lot of these soft tissue injuries. He's had issues with his back and in his hip, and they quote unquote said it was back spasm. So when anyone his size falls, you're going to be worried about, are those back muscles kind of going to get irritated and spasm up? So the fact that he's playing probably means he's going to be dealing with some discomfort. I think just at his size, and you get to the end of the season, this is what happens with Anthony Davis. Things start breaking down. You're just not designed to be explosive and play basketball at that size, you know, over an 80, 90 game stretch. So it's what I expected. I don't think it's anything major. As long as he control his pain and he's not compensating elsewhere, he'll definitely be out there and playing. I just don't know how impactful he'll be if he's having discomfort in his back.
Jonathan Kuminga sat 6 games with the knee tendonitis, and he's come back for 4 since then. What have you seen from Kuminga as far as his bounce back from that minor injury?
He seems to be moving very well. I think that one of the biggest things you worry about, particularly for a young player who's dealt with knee tendonitis, is how are they going to respond that first game back? Are they going to be explosive? And he had a great game. He had 21 points. You know, I think it was double-digit boards. So the confidence aspect of it was definitely there, which I think is great, because you're definitely worried about, is a player not going to be explosive because they're worried about that pain coming back? So we seem to check that box off. And number 2, he's looked great these past 4 games. So I think that with tendonitis at a young age like that, as long as you nip it in the bud, you rest it, and then get him back on the court, you're not worried about someone like a Blake Griffin, who just retired, who had kind of chronic tendonitis throughout his career in his 30s and had more of an issue. So for someone like him, I think he looks good, and hopefully this won't be an issue moving forward.
Doc, for Giants fans, any concerns around Blake Snell, or is this just a ramp up?
I think it's just a ramp up. I mean, I kind of use the example of Clay Thompson, you know, a couple seasons back where he didn't do anything in the offseason, or offseason was different than what he typically does. When you enter the season, whether you're not doing things or it's different than your normal pattern of kind of getting ready for a season, there's going to be impact in performance. Plus the fact he's playing in a new stadium, he's playing, you know, with new teammates, all these various factors. So if game 5, game 6 comes along and he's having issues and I get a little bit more concerned, these first couple games, I think just the matter of him getting back in his rhythm and getting used to pitching at the major league level again.
Spencer Strider for the Braves with a torn UCL. Why all of the torn UCLs, Doc? It seems like more and more of these injuries are cropping up around MLB.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, there are kind of two factors. Number one is I think there's such an emphasis on velocity. And even though we've gotten better at determining, you know, how you can throw faster, the UCL hasn't gotten stronger. So people have gotten stronger in terms of their muscles and their techniques, but that UCL can only take so much force. So if you're having people throw 99, 100 miles all the time, those UCLs are going to break down. And secondarily, even just the wear and tear on these pitchers, they're pitching at a much younger age. So they're trying to throw 80, 90 miles per hour at ages 9, 10, 11, or 12. So you have a lot more wear and tear on these people when they get to the major leagues. And this emphasis on velocity, not just the volume they're throwing, but how fast they're throwing, is leading these UCLs breaking down. It's got to change how things are done to preserve these pitchers as they get in the majors.
Okay, so it's not the pitch clock.
I do not think it's a pitch clock at all. I think it's velocity and how much they're throwing at a young age.
Yeah, I had a feeling also that was a players' union concoction.
Right.
And, yeah, not working because we got Doc Pandya. Thank you, Doc. Great stuff. Enjoy the game. How are you watching this thing tonight?
Watching at home, I'm going to have my Kevon Looney jersey on for good luck because, you know, Looney is the Sacramento starter, and I'll have all my good luck years. Hopefully we'll get a win tonight.
Okay, nice. Sounds good. Although you and Kevon might be playing the same number of minutes tonight. We'll see. We'll see. But enjoy it, Doc. Thank you for coming on.
All right, take care, guys. Yep.
Okay, there he goes. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. Doc Pandya, GP2, if the Warriors are lucky enough to come out of this play-in tournament, still kind of we'll see.
Right.
Sounds like it would at least be the first few games of round one also if the Warriors were to get there.
And it's terrible news not only for the team but especially for GP2 himself because he's in a situation where he's looking for that maybe one last contract. I think he's 31 years old, and when you talk about these types of injuries – they can really be, you know, detrimental to you getting another contract.
He's going to opt in, though, right? I don't think he's got an option that I would imagine he would pick up. Is it a $9 million option for next year?
It is a player option.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to pick that up. He's not going to get more than that on the open market.
No, but I think if I were GP2, I would be looking to go to the team and say, you know, what can we do about me getting a 2 or 3 year deal? I'll go ahead and I'll turn down the 9. But how about you give me 3 and 15 or something like that?
We'll call you back.
Yeah, well, they don't want him to just pick up the 9. And
they might.
Yeah, but I think they also would be open to, you know, what about you give me 4 next year because they're looking to really get below the tax. Give me 4, 5, and then 6.
Maybe, or
stretch that baby out a little bit.
They might want him to pick up the 9 because that salary certainly fits well to make a trade work.
It does. It does, but
I think is a very significant possibility this offseason.
Would be GP2 opts in and gets traded.
He's a piece of a puzzle that works. Because financially, I don't know, the Warriors are not going to be able to do that early. If he says, hey, I'd like to tear that up, I'll decline it, 2 or 3 year deal, they're going to be like, we got to see what the heck else is going on with this whole thing. And GP2 is not going to command anywhere near that on the open market right now because he just hasn't been able to stay healthy.
And he's a glue guy. If you're a team looking for a free agent, he's not going to be a day one or a day two free agent. He's more in that third wave.
Correct.
And you're going to be a winning team looking for a glue guy, seventh or eighth man, who can come in and do what he's done here. Give us 15 to 20 minutes, lockdown D, hustle plays, you know, don't mess things up and just be an overall good teammate.
Got some fun news to share with you in terms of someone who's going to join us here in a half hour. Tell you about that in just a second.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, how about Bob in the city first? Hey, Bob, what are you doing?
Bob.
What's up, boys? Hey, Willard, it's love that you're drinking a big swig of the truth juice and that Dibs is shooting all over himself. The Warriors are exactly where they're supposed to be. Those fourth quarter blowouts this year, when they gagged them up, maybe they gagged them up because they're old. That's where they should be. Draymond Green's getting suspended all the time. Maybe that Eastern Conference is better.
Well, it's interesting. Bob, you're going further than I would.
Bob.
And I don't know. What was the word that he said? That
should.
Oh,
I'm shooting.
I'm like,
all over.
I'm like looking at Gandy and I'm like, I don't know. His phone's not good enough for me to know if that's okay.
And Bob, I'm the one who has said all along that you are what your record says you are. So I'm not shooting all over anything.
Well, and I'm the one who says you're not, but I think there's intricacies to this conversation.
Right.
Like, when I say that, the Warriors for the year, they kind of are probably where they're supposed to be to a certain degree. But I do not buy that, for instance, tonight, you are what your record says you are. Well, then the Kings are better. They have the same record, and they have the tiebreaker, and they have their arena. But they're not. They're the underdog because there's nuance, there's intricacies, there's injuries. The Kings are more hurt. The Warriors have been the much better team down the stretch, and that's the team that gets to show up tonight. So, I don't know. That's maybe splitting the difference a little bit in this whole conversation. But part of the reason that the Warriors didn't finish these games, because they're not a great basketball team.
Right.
That's a big part of it. It's not just, oh, they should have. Well, no, they're not great. That's what happens when you're not great. You have a hard time putting four good quarters together. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. You can get all the Steiny and Goo and Bonte and Joe content there as well. They had Mitch Richmond on Steiny and Goo today, or Rich Mitchend, I believe is who Guru had on. But we're going to have Nick Friedell on in a half hour. That's right. And I'm going to do the whole interview like this.
You won't.
And his voice is still going to be deeper than mine. It's going to be very, very unsettling for me on Willard and Dibs.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm asking the great Rich Mitchin.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I didn't mean for Goo to catch a stray. Goo, if you're listening, that doesn't matter.
I'm all right.
Yeah, they thank you. It's not a mistake. It's not something to be embarrassed about. It's kind of like if the Warriors lose tonight. It's not embarrassing. It's disappointing. And I know he was disappointed that he called him Rich Mitchin.
You're right.
Why would you ask?
Why would you ask?
You're right.
Why would you ask?
I mean, he leaves it all out there. You give him, got to give him
sure
credit
does.
For that.
Yep. Sure does.
Doesn't hold back.
Someone needs to introduce Guru to the word Tuesday. My man, pace yourself. We got three more of these.
Oh, stop.
Listen to you.
The voice will be back.
You got to go out there and be tough.
Oh, it was so good. It's never not good. It's never not good when he does that. And by the way, I hesitate to do this, but there was an assist in terms of Guru's voice. There was an assist. Javier Ivacaville, I've been listening all day, and I know what you're trying to do, and I'm glad you haven't tried to do it so far on this show, because we wouldn't let you anyway.
Let him in.
No, I'd let him in, but I also want to let him know, you're not getting under this skin.
Nope.
You're not doing it. So you call all day long, and he got on Bonte and Joe's show, and they flushed him, and then he got on Steiny and Goo's show, and like Draymond in Orlando, 3 minutes into the show, Guru's yelling already. Like, I don't even understand it. Like, do you as a Kings fan talk all your crap the day before because you know that there's a good chance you won't get to talk your crap the day after? Is that actually like a strategic thing that you do? Like, why would you why are you running around today screaming and yelling about who Sabonis is and who the Warriors are not? And like, what are we getting at here? This is a 9-10 game.
Right, right.
This is not a day to peacock in the streets, okay? I don't find it embarrassing if they lose. I also do not find it to be like, let's blow on the back of our fingernails because we're the 9 versus the 10. Just like, just watch a game. And if your team wins, good. Let's see if they can pull something off on Friday. But neither one of these teams should be sending tape of this year to the Smithsonian. This was not great. This did not go great for either of these teams, and both of them should be taking a hard look at themselves in the offseason.
Yes, but 46 wins is nothing to sneeze at, and 46 wins last year would have had you in the playoffs.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. What'd you say?
Try to cover your mouth when you do that here.
Huh?
Elbow? Inside of the elbow, much better, and Gesundheit.
Sorry about that. What'd you say?
46 wins is nothing to sneeze at. And you can't, maybe it's the hay fever.
Sorry.
A lot of pollen here on the 10th floor.
Man, they come in bunches sometimes.
It's not like you're the Atlanta Hawks and you're 36 and 46. You're 46 and 36. So I think that you're being a little bit disrespectful. Obtuse, I know what you're getting at.
Obtuse is the word.
No, you're not being obtuse at all. You're not being aloof. You're being quite pointed. But I think you're slightly off the mark because these teams, they didn't have bad years relative to their conference. Yeah, you're the 9 and the 10, but it's not like you're Atlanta or Chicago playing sub 500 ball and you're only in the play-in because your conference sucks.
There is 0-0-0 way I'm going to let anyone tell me that Kings fans and Warriors fans were not disappointed with this regular season. I'm sorry. I can't even hear that. That sounds crazy to me.
But if you would have won 48 games or 47 games and been like the 7th seed or the 6th seed,
that was not the goal for these teams. That was not the goal this year.
Well, the goal is to win the championship.
Right.
Always.
So if the goal is to win the championship, quite frankly, what are you doing or playing this week? What are you doing in this game?
It's less than ideal.
Yeah, so it's disappointing. I'm not calling it embarrassing. I'm not saying it's time to start firing coaches after tonight or anything crazy like that. I'm simply saying that these were not seasons for either of these teams to send to your resume. Like, this was not great. The Sacramento Kings, after what they achieved last year, should have taken a further step forward, in my opinion. And the Golden State Warriors, I'll let Ramona Shelburne yesterday explain how things went this year.
This group didn't fit together the way that they wanted to or the way that they have in the past, right? And I think they could use a little more shooting. They could use another dependable score. So I would just watch to see what they do. Maybe they'll just stand pat and kind of get under the second apron and run it back next year. But how do you have a team that still has Steph Curry? If he's not squarely in his prime, he is just a little south of it, just a little, right? Like, he's 95% of what he was in, you know, back when they were rolling. How do you not give him the best chance to win again? How do you not take a few swings? Whether they pull those off, I don't know, but I think they try.
Yeah, that's why I've sort of, she has very much helped me adjust the way I'm looking at tonight's game. I am here for it. This is a ton of fun. If you ask me what's on the line, I simply say just this season. But I don't make it bigger than that, because I think if you're Joe Lacob and you run this business the way he has clearly stated that he's going to run it, he is not getting wooed by the 10 seed. And even if you win a couple games, oh, what if they win a couple games? Yeah, what if? What if? Then they go play the Thunder. Well, but what if that series goes deep? What if?
What if they beat the Thunder?
You think Steph Curry's out here getting excited about, even if they do, yippee slidoo, we got out of the first round? And then what? Who are you playing after that?
Probably Minnesota.
Okay.
And you beat Minnesota. And then what? I mean,
then what? Now, well, now we're getting, quite frankly, into what I find to be a bit
fantasy land.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Well, I do. Your whole premise is that, you know, whatever happens is not going to affect what the organization does in the offseason, and I disagree. I do think that there's a point where things could change your thinking. Either way, if you go out tonight and you lose by 27, and Wiggins looks disinterested, and Clay goes 3-for-19, and Kuminga is unplayable again, I do think that that might lead you to further actions around this roster.
I think they're already there.
Well, I don't know where they are. Nobody does.
Nobody knows, but all I can tell you is what I think. I think they're already there. Grandy made a comment to us earlier. What'd you say about Joe Lacob? You want him on TV tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to see the look on his face.
Why do you want to see the look on his face?
He hasn't been able to hide his disappointment for much of the season.
There you go. So that's where Joe Lacob is. Joe Lacob is not happy to be in Sacramento tonight. Joe Lacob is looking at this roster, and as Ramona Shelburne just stated, it didn't fit. I'll refrain from the OJ joke.
Yep.
I'm sorry it even went through my head. But it didn't fit. And so, like, I don't think that this good result that all of us want for our fandom and our fun, which is, can you just make this last a little bit longer? Can we, right? Can we get past tonight? Can you get past Friday? Can you therefore get into the first round? Can that go deep? Who knows, maybe even come out of that? I don't think any of that changes what the Warriors would do in the offseason. They will still look at this and go, if we want to actually give Steph Curry a real shot at another ring, it is not going to be by doing it the way we're doing it right now. I just don't think, like, and what you're saying, I'm not saying is wrong. What you're saying is there's a path to change that. I agree with you. That path is going to take months. Like, this season would need to go well into May.
Yeah.
Maybe June. Before you would rethink what they're going to do this offseason. And even then, you would still need to figure something out. Because if you think about it this way, if you get to the point where you're like, wow, this roster actually turns out it was great. And we just had a Draymond suspension, but it turns out we're actually good to go. You can contend with this roster.
Yeah.
Great. Tell me how you're bringing it back next year. You gonna pay Chris Paul $30 million?
Probably not.
What are you going to pay Clay? Is he okay with that?
Like, there's a lot of other questions that are out of your control.
But the whole run it back idea, there's a premise there that I don't even know if it's possible. In other words, you're asking players to make decisions that you want them to make. I don't know if they're going to make that decision.
Right. You don't know what decisions they're going to make as an organization and what choices the players are going to make, those who have an actual option. I mean, GP2 could opt in or opt out. We all think that he's going to opt in because we all think that he won't command any more on the open market, but we don't know what he's thinking. And we all think that Klay Thompson is going to command a certain amount of money, and whether or not the team will pay him or not, maybe they're fed up with each other. Maybe he wants to be elsewhere. Maybe Klay wants to come back and do them a solid like the team did him a solid so many years ago when they paid him $70+ million to get better in a hospital. So there's a lot of things that we don't know. We don't know how Joe Lacob feels about anybody, Kuminga or Wiggins or Clay.
Well, yeah, we do.
Well, we don't know definitively what they're going to do.
We know he loves Jonathan Kuminga. We know that.
Well, how much? Do you love him so much that you would not trade him under any circumstance?
I don't think that I don't think that anybody is the any circumstance. Maybe staff.
Right.
I don't think business owners run it that way.
So that's where I look at tonight and potentially Friday and whatever could happen after that. And I think that everything changes. I still think that it's a fluid situation in many ways. And if you make some sort of a run, and I'm not sold that they can. I mean, the 10 seeds are 2-6 all time. No 10 seeds ever made the playoffs in the short history. It's only been 3 years where the 10 seed's been a part of the play-in.
That's
the first year it was the 8-9 only. There was no 10 seed even involved. So in those 3 years, the 10s never made it into a best-of-7 series.
Yeah,
so the chances are not in your favor.
They're crazy.
Not crazy, but they're not in your favor.
They're absolutely crazy.
It's probably 1-5. A 1-5
You're talking
chance.
About making the playoffs.
Correct.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something happening that would change Joe Lacob's mind. It's 1 in a gajillion.
Well, we don't even know what thought is, so his mind might already be made up.
Yeah, I think it is. Like, I think that there's no way to divorce yourself from what is reality. Whether you think the Warriors blew games, Jokic half court, whatever you want to say. The truth is, you can watch Warrior basketball this year and simply state, this is not good enough. Joe Lacob is absolutely, in my opinion, and if you hear those who are dialed in the NBA, I think you can hear it. And Grandy says it's all over his face. Like, he's not happy. This is not, like, he's not going to just sit there and be like, well, but, gosh, they tried. Like, no. Everything we know about that guy is that's not the way that he thinks. It's not the way that he's going to run his business. And again, I believe they are obsessed and overwhelmed with gratitude with regard to Steph Curry. And if that's the case, then you take that obsession into your roster construction and you try to do something with the remainder of his career. And it would be... it would be bananas to quote unquote run it back. And as I said, I don't even know if you can. Oh, you're going to run it back. Can you?
No, not in the same way.
I don't think you can run it back. I don't think that you're allowed to run it back. Even if you wanted to, you're going to have to change some things on the roster based on contracts.
Right. So beyond that, and we're not talking about the offseason because we're all dialed in on tonight's game, which is now coming up in 2.5 hours, but
damn,
based on whatever happens and whenever you get to the off season, you're going to have to make changes. But I don't know what you can possibly do to get yourself better without doing something fully dramatic, like just letting Clay go or bringing Clay back for half price. Does that make you better? No,
I'm telling you,
Paul go for $30 million and getting nothing back in return. That doesn't make you better.
Correct.
Getting rid of Kevon Looney and paying him $3 million guaranteed and having that roster spot open, that doesn't make you better. So what can you do that makes you better that's not fully dramatic?
I think this offseason will be dramatic.
Yeah, and I don't know.
I think offseason can be very, very dramatic.
I don't know if there is a move out there that can be made that is going to get you better enough to make it matter. But that's a question for the offseason.
Yeah, that's a question for another day. I'm more optimistic on that than I was a couple of weeks ago because it did feel, I think at times it feels like jail if you're not happy with this team. But again, we've probably been having conversations for weeks that are throwing out two options, and it's possible that neither of them are even viable. Not even possible. Should you run it back? Well, you can't. Should you go sign a big-time free agent? Well, you can't. Should you make a big move? Maybe you can't. I'm a little bit more optimistic on that than I was a few weeks ago. I think that's what the Warriors will try to do. I don't know if they can, but I am like coaching myself at this moment to simply look at tonight as this year's run. And I love watching Warrior games. And so I hope this thing goes as long as possible. I think any talk of even getting out of a round of the playoffs is insanely premature. It's totally premature.
Yeah, you're not even there yet.
Right. So, my mind just doesn't go there, but I also think, right, a championship is so, it's so absurdly unlikely that I just think that when this is all over, I want it to last as long as possible, but when it's all over, 99.9% chance this is all going to end up in the same conversation, which is that the Warriors would like to change the way they did this because this year didn't work. It's not good enough.
Yeah, but that's all fine and good, but how you go about doing that, to me, is inordinately more difficult than just, oh yeah, we don't want to do this again. We want to change our approach. We want to change our roster. We want to go about it differently next year. Well, you probably won't have your draft pick, and you probably won't be able to replace the $30 million salary slot that Chris Paul has, and you probably won't have Klay Thompson unless he takes half of what he's making now, and you probably won't be able to bring in any free agent unless you trade Andrew Wiggins and Kuminga and or Moody and or multiple first-round picks in the future. So, you know, if you do want to try to make this team better, you're talking about serious, serious dramatic changes.
Yep.
And I don't know if other teams are going to be willing to take on Wiggins if I'm another team, I want Kuminga. And if Kuminga's not a part of the deal, then I'm good. I'm out. I'm not going to help you.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you my star player.
That's you.
For Wiggins and three first-round picks.
That was one of the big questions we wanted to ask Ramona Shelburne, and this is what she said.
I mean, they have their draft picks. They have young players like Moody. A lot of people really like Moody. People like Kuminga. I don't think they'll ever trade Kuminga. They'll really fight hard not to. People like Pajemski. I don't think they would want to trade Pajemski. Same thing with Trace. But, people are going to call about their young players. Those are good players. Plus, you have contracts like Wiggins' contract, like Chris Paul's contract is interesting. Even some of the other guys on the bench, like Looney or Gary Payne, they have the kind of assets that teams want. They don't have albatross contracts on the Warriors. I actually think, for as expensive as that team is, they're actually very well positioned to recalibrate.
Okay. I think that is a very important answer in this conversation. And definitely helped open my mind to some things when you look at what the Warriors could say if they got on the phone with someone, and then keeping in mind that whoever you're talking to, they've got their own financial situation, their own needs. We, like you just said, I want Kuminga. Well, some teams might want flexibility. Some teams might want draft picks. Some teams might want a player that's not about to get a very expensive extension. So I know that sounds odd, but there might be a team out there that's like, we would rather have Pajemski than Kuminga because that's cheap and that's controllable for a longer period of time. Or there might be a team that's like, give us all the draft picks more so than Kuminga because that doesn't fit. We've kind of got somebody that's kind of like Kuminga already or whatever. So you look at those other needs out there, and I do think that the Warriors have more than we've been giving them credit for in terms of two things, assets and flexibility. The albatross contract comment was very, very interesting. They are expensive but flexible. And that's a good place to be when you want to get in on conversations.
Yep, the most albatrossy contract is probably Wiggins, and he only has two more years and then a player option for $30 million. Draymond's is a little bit of a curious spot because of the player that he is. He's a guy who could only go to certain teams, and he's signed for three more years. But other than those two contracts, Ramona's right. They don't have anything that is too expensive or too long-term.
Funny thing about Wiggins is that I believe that's our emotions and our perception calling that a bad contract. What's he making next year?
26.
My God, we're potentially talking about giving Klay that much.
Yeah.
The open market for Andrew Wiggins right now would absolutely pay him $26 million per year.
And then 28 and then 30.
Absolutely.
For me, it's the length of the contract that makes it more albatrossy. But again, to Ramona's point, it's not some of these deals like Trey Young's deal or Zach LaVine or some of these other contracts that are just massive and long.
And he's not even 30 years old yet.
Yeah, 29.
He's 29 years old. Like, absolutely there would be a team out there that's like Wiggins for the next 3 years at under $30 million per year. Sure. Like, I know he gets under people's skin. I know he annoys you. He frustrates you. You want him to this. You want him to that. You want him to the other. But if you just want to talk money, Andrew Wiggins is fine in terms of his value. The return on investment.
He's fine.
Yeah, but
13 points a night for $24 million. That's about the going rate.
Look around the league. Exactly.
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, and we also,
it's a mediocre price contract for a mediocre player.
But we know that he has the ability to step out
right,
of that.
Right.
No, he does.
No,
he,
it's hilarious though. No, because not, like, we have to couch it like that.
No, but even recently, like, you go, if we want to give the Warriors credit for who they were the last 6 weeks, then we got to do it for Andrew too.
Oh yeah, he's much better.
He has not been the 13 point per game guy over the last 6 weeks. He has been a much better version of himself. I don't think that contract's that bad.
No,
I think you can absolutely find takers for Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, and you'd have to put something else with it. And again, we're talking about getting a player back who is going to really help you get to the next level. And this is an off-season conversation that hopefully we don't have to have for a long time.
Right.
Because we're talking about the Kings tonight.
We're talking about the Kings tonight.
Yeah, we're staying in the moment.
But my premise is that conversation is not coming down to tonight. Like, I've fallen into it, like a lot of us have. Oh, well, if they do this, then that. And if they do this over here, then maybe a little bit of that. I don't think there's a whole lot of that going on. Based on some of the conversations I've had recently, I don't think that's where the Warriors' head is at, because why would it be? You know,
looking at the totality of the season and of 3 years of Kuminga and 5 years of Wiggins. You're looking at a bigger body of work than 48 minutes in Sacramento.
Sure.
I'll give you that.
Sure. I mean, that was the question I asked Fitz last week when I said, how much of the offseason rides on next week? And his answer was like, I mean, very little. Like, why? You know what I mean? Yeah. Why would you do that if you were the Warriors?
Pretty good.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Why would you do that? Why would you make massive decisions about your business based on 48 minutes?
Right.
That seems crazy.
It's emotional is what it would be.
Yeah. And Joe is, yeah, I agree with Grandy. I think Joe's face says 1,000 words right now. So, all right, we'll keep going with your calls. 888-957-9570. Our very good friend and longtime NBA writer reporter Nick Friedell is going to hop in here coming up next. We're presented by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. It's Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we love to laugh on this show, and so if you have a good laugh, we call more often to have you on. Although, I'm going to admit a hole in our game right now. The NBA, we've not had Nick Friedell on enough this season.
No.
For my tastes. Exactly. Exactly. Nick, we have not had you on enough. Yes, indeed, he is here. Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell and insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Nick, let's have you on more going forward, for crying out loud.
I mean, Mark, it's so good to hear y'all's voices. And Mr. Dibs, I mean, it's just been way too damn long. So say the word and I'm there, but it really puts a smile on my face. I mean, Lucas call and yell at me to come on, and then here you guys in the open. I mean, I feel like I'm sitting right there. We got a big Warriors game tonight. Things are all right with the world at the moment.
Yeah, welcome home, Cousin Nick. We missed you, and it's just so glad to have you back in the Odyssey fold again, my brother. And this is a perfect time as we all get excited for the 2-month run-up to the NBA championship.
Yeah, I mean, how long will the Warriors be in that 2-month run-up? That is a very, very large question that I know you guys are going through right now. I mean, look, Mr. Dibs, I'm not betting against Steph Curry. And as we try to figure out what's going to happen, not only tonight, but potentially in the future, I just don't buy that this is the very, very end of what we know of the Warriors, even if they go out and lose tonight, because they're still right in any conversation because of Steph. Now, there are going to be a lot of questions that have to be answered in the next few months, no matter what happens either tonight or in the next week or two or however long they may stay in this thing. But if you still have Steph at this level and you have the ability to work your way out of some of these deals, it's not over as far as we know it right now.
Nick, you're talking right now about what we've been talking about a lot today, and so I wonder what your answer would be to this. In other words, you said this is very likely to end this week, next week, somewhere in there. Like, let's just call it what it is. So do you think the Warriors have already decided that somewhat significant changes need to happen?
Absolutely. That is the short answer, Mark, because you don't have the type of success that they've had winning championships on this run that they've been on without making tough decisions. And some of them, I'm sure, have been made for weeks at this point. Now, who stays, who goes, that's part of the fun of this job. I mean, I know there's so much focus on Clay. I've been living back down in Florida. I know there's always seems to be a lot of smoke. Well, hey, the Magic are young, and they have a lot of cap space, and nobody can shoot. It makes a lot of sense. But count me in the group that as far as Clay goes, I'd be surprised if they don't work something out this summer. I've talked to Joe Lacob about it in the past. I know what Steph and Draymond think. I would just be surprised, at least a little bit, if they can't work through something. So, okay, so in this scenario, you still have Steph playing at an MVP level or close to it. You've got Draymond when he's on the floor and locked in, which, as we know, is who knows, a proposition. I was at that game in Orlando a couple weeks ago, guys. To see that unfold in real time and to see how emotional Steph was in the moment was incredible, frankly, because you're just not used to seeing Steph publicly be that way. He was so pissed off. But if Draymond is locked in, huge if, okay. And if Clay accepts less money, accepts the role that he's been in, okay. Now the question becomes, you've got to get off Wiggins' deal, you would think. Oh, how does that happen? What do you have to attach to make that happen? I mean, that seems to me as the next biggest question. But, Mark, to your point, do I think they know they've got to make huge decisions moving forward to keep things in control? Absolutely, I do. And I think those conversations have been ongoing now for a while.
In light of what you said about Andrew Wiggins, what do you think the market is for Wiggins out there? He is only 29. The contract's not completely unwieldy. It's only, you know, 24 to 30 million over the next 3 years, but he does underwhelm on the regular. What's the scuttlebutt, Nick, around the league about Andrew Wiggins?
Oh, Mr. Dibbs. I mean, I'm waiting for K Wig to come back on, and because you know, you're just not used to what type of music is going to get played night to night anymore. I mean,
usually it's a soft and smooth R&B, Nick, as you know.
I feel like we've gone back in the time machine, totally. Like 3 years ago. Like, you know, hey, he was great last night. You know, let's play it, let's turn it up. But I think the answer there is, well, what else are you going to attach if you're Mike Dunleavy in that staff? And we know the draft capital they have. I don't think anybody wants Kuminga to go anywhere. You know, what is Moses Moody's ceiling? Pajimski and TJD, they look like they're going to be keepers. But if you're going to move off a deal that has that much money and that many years left on it, the question isn't so much, all right, what's the market for Andrew Wiggins? The question is, what's the market for Andrew Wiggins plus whatever assets you have to attach to that contract? Can he show up here, not just tonight, but if they make a little push and maybe change the tenor around the rest of his tenure? Maybe, but it just feels like I'd be surprised if he wasn't at the top of the list of guys and contracts, frankly, that you're not trying to turn around in the summer. So there's always a deal to be made. I mean, who would ever thought that Jordan Poole would make Chris Paul a Warrior? That one's still a stunner all these months later. It can happen. The question, though, is what are the Warriors going to feel comfortable moving along with him? And that's what the front office is going to have to answer in the next couple months.
Our buddy, Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell on with us here. Willard and Dibs, insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. All right, Nick, I mean, early on, Pelicans, Lakers, Pelicans have a very small lead, so we're watching this one. But just the framework of the week, how long do you think this run goes for the Warriors?
I just don't see them getting two games, Mark. They've just been too inconsistent to believe that. Now, I say that knowing they still have Steph. And so, with Steph, I mean, we saw it in that Sacramento game in Game 7 a year ago. He absolutely can put this team on his back for a couple games. I've never been able to see this Warriors team being able to put it together when they need it the most, game after game. On a one game, sure, you know, fine. Roll the Kings, see what happens against the Lakers, the Pelicans, whomever. But for two games, I struggle with that one. And I struggle with that one as somebody who still knows that Steph is more than capable of doing it. So I think this is where I come back to with the Warriors. Let's say, in a much more positive scenario, that they win tonight and then they go and beat whoever they would have to play in a couple days. The issue for me is the Warriors are always going to be judged on titles, period. It's not, well, did we make it out of the play-in or did we surprise somebody in the first round? Oh, anything is possible. This team is always, 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 because of its previous success, going to be judged on hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy up. And this team that we've seen this year is just flatly not capable of doing that. Could they surprise somebody in the first round? Sure. Ah, they make some noise and they really get rolling. Maybe. They cannot win that many games in a row. I mean, it remains to be seen if they're going to even win tonight. So, I just have to take a breath when you're talking about the Warriors and say, hey, maybe they could get out of this little round. Maybe they could go do something in the first round. That is by far and away the best scenario you could dream up right now for a team that just never found the rhythm that has defined them so often during this run.
So even thinking about the future, though, Nick, is this team with, you know, Steph getting older and seemingly wearing down a little bit, still an elite player, but like you said, not able to do it night in and night out like he used to, is there a player out there that you would eyeball who could come in and lift this team again to its lofty perch that it had been on so many times before?
I don't see it, Mr. Dibs. And the issue is, and this is another way of going back in the time machine, this is like the Bradley Beal conversation from 3-4 years ago. I mean, when he was with the Wizards, it was like, well, just get Beal out here. He's the guy. I mean, he's available. Just trade everybody else that's not Steph, Clay, Draymond, and see what happens with Beal. Well, we see how that's working out for Phoenix, one. But two, I don't see that player. If you're the Warriors and you're Dunleavy, what you are banking on in a major way is guys like Pajimski and DJD to improve even more, or Kuminga to take another step. If you keep Moody, which that might be a stretch, again, going back to the Wiggins conversation, you'd think he'd be involved in some kind of deal. But this is all about player development, because Steph is still unbelievable, but Dibs, the point is well taken. Steph's great, but Steph's not playing close to 82 games. I mean, he just, his body is not going to allow that going into his age 37 year. It's just not going to happen. He's in unbelievable physical condition, but he's not going to be that guy every night, every time he steps out there. So if you're the Warriors, you have to believe that you can bridge the gap for now with the players that you've drafted, developing them, and hoping that at least Steph and Draymond will see what happens with Clay, can continue to be those mentors that they need. But guys, I've said this several times over the last few weeks, but it's worth repeating right now in this moment in the context of our conversation. This is where, when you whiff on Wiseman, it hurts the most. Because the three of us sat there. I mean, you make that move, and you decide that Wiseman is your guy, and he flames out the way that he did with the Warriors. This is where it hurts, because that pick, the number two pick, was supposed to be the bridge, and that bridge no longer exists. And that's not to say that all is over with if they lose tonight and, you know, just pack it all up. It was a nice run, but it's done. That is to say that when you miss that badly, it hurts a franchise for years. And I think the Warriors are just starting to feel that right now. And they're going to feel it more acutely as these next couple years go by and Steph gets a little bit older.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, Odyssey NBA Insider, our friend Nick Friedell with us here on Willard and Dibs. Nick, let's spotlight tonight. We all acknowledge it's one game. Somebody could get hot. This thing could go either way. But what would be your pregame breakdown, specifically with Malik Monk, who's a Warriors killer, out of this game? How do you see this one going?
I think Steph has 40 and the Warriors win. Because, Mark, when you have the mental advantage on top of the Monk thing, which is obviously very crucial, but when you have the mental edge against the younger team, it doesn't matter where or when you play them. You step on the floor, if you're Steph, Clay, Draymond, and you go, oh, we got this. And I don't believe that they're going to just take it like a walk in the park by any stretch. But I know that group is incredibly proud, and they love nothing more than everybody to say, oh, this is it for the Warriors. Well, you know, they're done tonight. The Kings team, they all won from last year. The end is near for this entire core. They're too old. They don't have enough. To me, just through the years, if you're in a one-game, gotta-have-it situation, You're almost always taking the veteran team. When that veteran team has Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and you have Clay coming off the bench and can get hot and isn't afraid of the moment, give me that team every time. I just think the Warriors have everything they need for the moment on the floor against the Kings, and I certainly believe they have that mental edge off of it.
Do they have the edge if Steph doesn't have one of those transcendent games? If Steph is just ordinary Curry with 25, is the supporting cast good enough to get them by tonight and maybe even again on Friday? Or do they need Curry to go on a heater to really keep this thing going?
Dibs, they have to have Steph at his best. I don't think they have enough anymore. These aren't the same days for they can be as proud as they want. They don't have the talent, not to get through these type of games. These type of games are when Steph is Steph. We've seen it the last few years. I think we're going to see it again tonight. They're obviously going to have to pull out another one somewhere if they want to get into that first round. But I think that's a fascinating part of the larger context of the Warriors with where they stand, not only right now in the moment, but in the next couple seasons. Because they have depth if everybody's healthy, but as we've seen, that hasn't always been the case all year. They have talent, certainly, but you need, in these type of games, somebody to take everybody else to a different level. We've seen Clay do it, certainly, in the past. We've seen Draymond do it when you go way, way back. But Steph is Steph for a reason. And so in these moments, I think you've got to have one of those transcendent performances to carry a group that just hasn't been able to find itself through. If they don't get that, I don't think they're getting out of the play-in.
Boy, bud, it is, it's good to hear your voice, too.
I miss you guys.
Yeah.
I miss it all the time, but I still listen, and I still I still am keeping my connection when I can, and whenever I get back out there, I promise we're going to go get some lunch somewhere.
Come on home, Cousin Nick.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Enjoy the game, Nick. Thank you for hopping on.
Always, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay, that was Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.